All right, take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. The Bible's important. This is sad but true. Unfortunately, many homes, even so-called Christian homes, are like the one in which the little girl pointed to the Bible on the mantle that was never opened and said to her mother, "Whose book is that?" And the mother looked quite startled at her daughter's question and replied, "Well, honey, don't you know? That's God's book." And the child said this, "Well, don't you think we better give it back to him? Because nobody around here ever reads it." Ooh. All right. Okay, that went over like a lead balloon. That's okay. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says this. "But as it is written, for I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Notice that it says, "for as it is written." Could I say again, I can't put enough emphasis on the importance of getting a hold of the fact that what we have, when I say what we have, I mean Bible Christianity. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about contemporary. I'm talking about Bible Christianity. The foundation is what's written. The Lord gave us the infallible word. And it says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And I like that verse. When things get discouraging around here and gloomy down here, I like to think of what the Bible talks about God hath prepared for them that love him. I'd like to think about it, but truth of the matter is, according to the verse, it is beyond your wildest imagination. Take your Bible, go to Revelation 21. "Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him." There's some attempts by the writer John to describe that place, and they're pretty spectacular. But even then, they don't do the place justice. No artist, no poem, no song, no painting has ever been able to do the grandeur, the beauty, the splendor of heaven justice, just because it's beyond our capability to imagine. That's what that means. "Neither have entered into the heart of man," but I still enjoy thinking about it. I enjoy seeing what the Bible says about it. Let's just get a glimpse in verse 18. "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald." This is the foundation. Amen. "The fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth chrysoprase." That sounds like a vegetable to me. I remember the first time my wife put asparagus on the table and she said to the kids, "Now you may not like this, but I think it's important that you at least try it before you say you don't like it." And all the kids are looking at this asparagus and they turned up their nose and you know, they're cringing. And then she looked at me and she said, "Right, Dad?" And all the kids knew I didn't like it either. She set me up, man. And I said, "Yes, that's right, honey." And she started loading up my plate. I don't know what a chrysoprase is, but it's going to be beautiful. "The 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass." Can you get a hold of that? I don't know about you, but I'm having a hard time But I know this, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beyond our, well, it is beyond our ability to describe here. Look at chapter 22, and let's just try to get a visual on this right here. Verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What a sight to try to get a hold of. The writer there, Paul, said, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'll tell you something. What helps keep me going down here is what's over there. God's got some things prepared. This ought to be really, really an encouragement to hear if you're a Baptist. I guess we're Baptists here. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb prepared. It says in Revelation 19:9, he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now there's a mentality I run into it occasionally. It's a line of teaching that only Baptists are truly in the bride of Christ, and therefore only Baptists are going to get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I don't subscribe to that at all because, well, I would be happy to believe it if I could just find it in the Bible, and I can't. And someone said once, I asked someone to believe that, and I said, so you're trying to tell me that John and Charles Wesley are not going to have a place at the marriage supper of the Lamb because they weren't Baptists? And the guy said, that's right. And I said, well, I got news for you. They're going to have a place because my wife and I are going to get up and give her ours. Give them ours. Of course, I don't even know if they let us in. Amen. But there's some things prepared. And so my question, the title, the message tonight or today is this right here. What's prepared for you? What's prepared for you? It says, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. And, you know, I'm not asking you if you love him. I'm asking you what's prepared for you. Amen. Think about that. We preach, and let's pray again. Brother Steve, you pray for the message for me. Would you do that? Help me out.
Lord God, I just pray that you walk these aisles and prove the sin of righteousness and judgment. Yeah. Lord God, I pray, Father, that our finite minds, Father, will understand the great truths that you have from the scriptures today. Be with the service, be with the preaching. I pray Jesus Christ, as all this week has taken place, he's been high lifted up. Brother Dave's given him all the glory and honor. He's honored your book above himself, and his Savior above himself. And Lord God, we're forever grateful for that. Bless our families.
Yes.
Bless our country. Father, we're an equal people, Father.
Yes.
Without you, we're nothing. The Lord bless today and do a great work. And we'll thank you for all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 23. What prepared for you? I want to give you some things this morning. We tried to scratch the surface, get you to think for a moment perhaps about the things that are prepared for you on the other side. But just to be honest with you, there's some things prepared on this side for you, too. It says in Luke chapter 9, Jesus said, I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And just to be honest, listen, as a dope addict, as a drunkard, as a professional criminal, as a gang member 23 years ago, I bowed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ Amen. He came to where I was in a little 5x7 cell in Dayton, Ohio. He accepted my prayer. He cleansed me of my sin. He saved me, put my name in the book of life. If I'd have never got out of that cell, if I'd have rotted in the penitentiary, which I would probably deserve, that God would still be wonderful, like Brother Eric's already prayed. If he never spoke to us, if he never answered a prayer, if he never manifested himself in our lives after he gave us a gift of eternal life, he's a wonderful God. But boy, I'll tell you what, that's the beginning. That book says he came not to destroy men's lives. I guarantee you this, sitting in that cell, I would have never dreamed I'd be standing in a pulpit somewhere every Sunday for 17 years, lifting up God's book, lifting up God's son, lifting up God's word. I travel around like a wife that loves God with some kids that are saved with the best friends in the world. I never saw that coming. I didn't get saved for any of that. I got saved because I was a sinner and I was willing to admit it and I asked God for forgiveness. And buddy, he has turned the honey bucket upside down ever since. There's some things prepared over there. You're going to have eternity to discover them. But for now, I got good news for you. There's some good things prepared on this side. There's some good things prepared in this life. 23rd Psalm. I thought Brother Piet was going to go after my message again this morning. Start talking about the valley of the shadow of death. Look with me. Psalm 23. Probably the most famous psalm ever written. More people are familiar with it. I guess it's been recited at more funerals. What a sad thing that we only see Psalm 23 as being of any value or application to be at a funeral. What a beautiful psalm it is. Look what it says. Look what it says in Psalm 104. Okay, now let me get there. Amen. Amen. Psalm 23. It was in here the day. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's how bullheaded we are. He'll take us to a green pasture, and he's got to make us lie down. Amen. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't that a comfort? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Look what it says in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look there in verse 5. Look what it says. Now we're talking about what's prepared for you. Let's just look at this verse. Let me apply it to some things that are relevant and current in our lives on a daily basis. Let's make a practical application of verse number 5. If you'd allow me to do that, it says, thou preparest a table before me. A table. To me, that speaks of a God that has promised to provide for us. Amen. It says in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the things the Lord addresses in verse 31, he says this, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Beloved, today let me report with joy that we have a God that is mindful. We have a God that cares for us. We have a God that provides. We have a God that promised to supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know why we're not as thankful as we ought to be? Because it doesn't say that he shall, but my God shall supply all your wants. Yeah, he doesn't promise that. I'll tell you what, that destroys us. He knows what we need. He'd take care of what we need. He's a God of provision. Amen. That's what he says in Matthew 6. Okay, this is how it is. After all these things the Gentiles see, life on earth requires some things. God knows that. All he says is, but if you belong to me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll take care of you. All these things shall be added unto you. God's a God of provision. God will take care of you. Amen. Just get your sights off what you need and just ask God tell God you're thankful for supplying your needs. He does. He will. Amen. God's a God of provision. What's prepared for you? Well, there's some provision God's taken for you. The passage goes on to say, thou preparest a table before me. Look what it says. In the presence of mine enemies. Presence of mine enemies. Amen. I get to do in a couple of places where I go, we'll do a men's prayer breakfast and then a motorcycle ride. I got some churches in the South that would rent me a Holley, you guys would say, Harley, I would say, and rent me a bike, and I would do the men's prayer breakfast. And one time I did, the whole thing was on safety. The Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And with all our equipment and all our experience, I said, look, we need to pray for safety. You know what it says? He's not only prepared a table before, it says in the presence of mine enemies. And I'm reminded that God is the God of safety. I spoke one night, last night. My daughter's been in several car wrecks. Listen, safety's of the Lord. And she survived them. She's learned some things. She's a better driver right now, amen, than she used to be. Our troops, our son did 3 tours in Iraq. He's well-trained, 82nd Airborne Division, all that. But I'll tell you what, his mother and I gave God the credit for his safe return, all 3 tours. Why? Because the Bible says safety is of the Lord. David said, thou preparest a table before me. God, listen, God's a God of provision. But it says in the presence of mine enemies, and it reminds me that the Bible says safety is of the Lord. And we've got a Lord. We've got a God that wants to take care of us. But listen, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And goes on in the subsequent verses to describe the spiritual enemies and the battle. And we know it's with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. And could I tell you that safety on a spiritual level is still of the Lord? That's why it says, be strong in the Lord. We've got a host of adversaries there in Ephesians chapter 6 that we can't even see them. What do you do? Trust God. What's prepared for you this morning? Well, there's provision and there's safety. And then it says, thou anointest my head with oil. Oil, that's an important substance, especially in the Old Testament. You read 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah came upon that woman. She was almost out of oil. She had enough left. She was going to make one more, whatever it was. I can't even remember right now. And then die. And boy, he had her go get those pots, and the oil never failed. You follow me? It's important. But I'm going to tell you what, it's got a more important application than something that takes care of the physical. Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. David said, thou anointest my head with oil. And I'm telling you this morning that there's some things prepared for you as a child of God. Down here on this side, it says this in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. Now, Samuel's out there at Jesse's house, and they're looking for the successor for King Saul. And it says in verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Listen, that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Listen, what's God got prepared for you if you're a child of God? Listen, if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit when you got saved. And it says in Romans chapter 8 and 14, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Tell you what, if you'll let the Holy Spirit lead, you want some deep theology here? You will always be headed in the right direction. There's days you might make progress quicker than others. There's days where you might get weary and grind to a halt. But if you're led of the Holy Spirit, you'll at least always be facing the right direction. Rest of you must, but don't you quit. Could I say to you that the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the book he authored. Right. So the person had said to me, well, I had a vision at 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and there was a 9-foot Jesus at the front of my bed telling me to do this or that. I looked at the guy. I said, you know, my advice to you, pal, would be quit eating pizza so late, because that's not how it operates according to the Word of God. God's got some things prepared for us. He didn't just save us and leave us out here. Man, he put something inside of you that'll bear witness to the Word of God and to the fellowship of other Christians. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then the verse goes on and say, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Now, I will acknowledge that one of the definitions for cup in the Word of God, in a scriptural sense, it can apply to sufferings and afflictions, that which is to be received or endured. And that's certainly the context of Matthew 26, where the Lord asked that that cup, what was coming, the crucifixion, could pass from him. But the definition also has an application that goes like this: good received and blessings. Amen. And so when David says, my cup runneth over, I'm reminded, aren't you, of Ephesians 3 and verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let me tell you something, man. I'm looking forward to heaven, but I'm not down here hanging on by the skin of my teeth. I've got a God that's interested in my life down here, interested in my walk down here, got a purpose for our life. I got something he wants to use us for, to bring honor and glory to himself. And if we'll avail ourselves, a spirit meet for the master's use, a vessel meet for the master's use. I'm telling you what, God will bless you for it. He's got some things prepared. This life, listen, God didn't save me and put me in some monastery somewhere. I'm having a time of my life. I got involved in all that foolishness when I was lost because I wanted to have a little fun. Let me tell you, I'm having more fun than I ever had. God's got some things prepared on this side. The Bible said, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I just want to say, there's some good things prepared for you if you're walking with God. Amen. We're not hanging on until we get to the other side. Amen. And God didn't leave us here to hang on. God left us here to fulfill his purpose. Now, I got to say this too, though, because, you know, we live in a day and age where, you know, you don't want to be misinterpreted as being unfair. And I got to say that God's got some wonderful things prepared for them that love him. But and if you're saved in here tonight, you can count on him. You can trust him. But, well, if you're walking with God, those things are promised. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're saved, and praise the Lord, you made it in a church Sunday morning like 50 million other Americans are going to do today. And so if you're saved, but you're not walking with God, you know it. You know it. I don't know it, but you know it. I just want to be a blessing to you this morning by telling you that God is the original equal opportunity employer. What does that mean? The Bible said he's no respecter of persons. So if you're in here and you took the best God had to offer and you don't seem to find any necessity or obligation to give back much, maybe an hour a week, well, I just want to encourage you by saying that God's got something prepared for you too. So take your Bible and go to the book of Jonah. Go to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1, and let's see what it says. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says this. I'll give you a lot of time to find it. Get time to get to the table of contents. And Old Testament. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Jonah is a preacher. Jonah is a man of God. Could I just tell you that as a preacher, there is nothing better than to know the perfect will of God. We seek for it. We long for it. We pray for it. We want to know what it is that God wants us. God will call a man to preach, and sometimes it takes years for you to find out exactly what he wants. And so you wait, and you stay busy, and you do whatever it is you can while you're waiting. Brother Einstein said, when God opens the door, you go through it. You don't pray about it. You don't discuss it. If God opens the door for you to go preach at a jail, preach at a nursing home, preach on the street, you just do it. That's called instant in season, out of season. Here you've got Jonah, and man, he is getting direct. He's hearing from God, and he's telling him exactly where to go, and he's telling him exactly what to do. He said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. Listen, most people go through their whole life. God never talks to them. God's talking to Jonah. Wouldn't Jonah be thrilled? Don't you think he's happy? Look at verse 3. But, you know what? Jonah was an independent Baptist. And it sounds like he's too independent for his own good. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. Again, it says, watch this, from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Listen, Jonah knew what to do. God told him what to do. He made a choice not to do it. And what makes it even more ridiculous, he chose to run from God. Like maybe some of you did at some point or time. Before you ended up saved, before you ended up right with God, people do it all the time. I preach to people every week. I might be preaching to somebody right now that's running from God. Like I say, you're doing your duty by showing up at church. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Maybe truth be known, you know you're running from God. I'm glad you're in here today. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a lost bike gang member, I used to do some collection. Money collecting. Amen. I'm pretty good at it. We had a saying, you can run, but you can't hide. Yeah. And truth of the matter is, some actually ran and did hide. We weren't 100%. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to God, that's what Jonah did. He's from the presence of the Lord. You can run, you can run, you can run as long as you want, but you can't hide. You can't get away from God. So I'm glad you're here so that I can tell you. If you're not where you should be, I'm not asking if you're saved, but if you're not where you should be with the Lord, amen, I'm here to tell you. You can run, but you can't hide. Let's see how it went for Jonah. Chapter 1 in verse 17, it says, now the Lord had, what's it say? Prepared. He had some prepared for old Jonah too. It said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know what the Lord knew? The Lord knew exactly what to do to get Jonah's attention. And he got it too in chapter 2 and verse 1. Then from the belly of the whale, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. You know, when he got to that place, God finally got his attention. It didn't have to take that. He could have gave God his attention when he spoke to him the first time and saved that experience. But no, he is bound and determined, like some of us, that he's going to have to get it the hard way. You know, in the jail ministry, time after time, I've had prisoners tell me, I mean, brother, you have experienced this. Singing a song and watch them prisoners, and some of them guys, they're singing the songs right along with you. I mean, 20 years ago, I'd be in the jail and somebody would be leading us singing, and I'm watching some of these guys, and they know the words better than I do. I'm in church every day. I've gone up to more than a few, but in the early days especially, I'd say, well, it looks like this isn't your first church service. Man, I've watched them quote the scripture like some of you do when you go to a pastor, just like I am. Amen. And I'd say, obviously, this isn't your first church service. You know how many times I've heard, no, I'm saved. I was raised in church. I've had him say, I was raised in an independent Baptist preacher's home. I've heard that. And I don't even say anything. I've learned not to say anything because they're going to tell me. They're going to say this every time. I know why I'm here. And again, I don't have to say a word. I just wait because here it comes. God needed to get my attention. And you know what I say then? Does he have it yet? Does he have it? Oh yeah, you're standing here at the bars. You're here in the little church service. Amen. You're here. You're even reading your Bible. You're even inviting your cellmates to come to church. You might actually even be praying while you're here. But I'll tell you what. And I tell them this. If God doesn't have your attention for real, when you get out of here, you'll be back. You'll be back. And you know what the definition of jailhouse religion is? People are worried about Spurgeon, that jailhouse religion. I didn't come to Christ because I was worried about prison. I got more friends in prison than most people have out here. I came to Christ because I was afraid of going to hell. You know what jailhouse religion is? The person gets out, and Jesus doesn't. And I tell him, don't worry, man. He'll be here when you get back. That Bible will be here when you get back. Listen, God knows how to, he knew how to get Jonah's attention, didn't he? And he knows how to get your attention. You'd do better just to give him your attention before you force him to do something like that. Listen, you might be going through something in your life right now. I don't know. But it may be because, and you probably know if it is, God is really trying to get your attention, and you do well to give it to him. Because if not, well, just buckle up. You're going to go through it again, and maybe again, and maybe again. Now, saying that, I got to say this right here. Every rough thing that comes into a person's life isn't the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes it's just part of the package. And God's got a cure for that and a relief for that. And that's that place that we're going to be at one day. And the problems of this life will be gone. But I'm telling you what, oftentimes God in his gentle mercy, he'll put us in places and positions in our life because he wants to get our attention. He wants us to turn our affection back to him. We take the best he has to offer and act like we're doing him a favor by strolling into church. We act like we're doing a favor if we don't cuss or drink. Amen. Let me tell you something. You ever really give God your heart, you'll find out he'll do you a favor. God's got some things prepared. And boy, if you're saved and you're walking with God, amen, not just as on the other side, but he's got some wonderful things prepared on this side. Amen. But let me say this. If you've taken the best God had to offer and you're just running the show, I got news for you. He's got something else prepared. As a matter of fact, he's got this prepared for everybody, every Christian. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Death is waiting. We're all in line. We just don't know when our time's going to be. But you can mark it down. It's coming. And everybody knows that. And people spend a vast amount of their conscious thought thinking about being healthier or preparing. Amen. We're talking about somebody, they got their funeral arrangements made, but they don't have their eternity arrangements made. Amen. And but the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, we understand, us Christians understand that there's a judgment, and if you've never, you go before the great white throne of God, and you've never had your sins forgiven, it's going to be awful. But I tell you what, I think sometimes Christians forget that when it says it is appointed unto man a once to die, and after this the judgment, there's a judgment for you and I prepared too. We give very little consideration to give an account of ourselves. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done. whether it be good or bad. I'm glad my sins are taken care of, but I'm going to answer, and so are you. I'm going to answer for my conduct after I got in on the gift of eternal life. Amen. Let me ask you something. Are you ready to give an account of your Christian life? Every idle word, every motivation of your heart, every selfish, rebellious, stubborn, prideful, dishonest act. I'm going to tell you what, there's folks that are riding around on a high horse all over Bible Christianity these days, thinking there's something they're not, thinking that their righteousness has more to do with them than it really does. I'm going to tell you what, nobody's going to be on their high horse that day. We're going to get on our face before God. We're going to realize that anything good came from Him. We're going to wish we'd have done more. We're going to give an account. And the Bible says our work's going to be tried as fire. And what's done for the Lord with the right heart will survive the fire. And what wasn't done right won't survive. It'll burn up. You ever throw wood, hay, and stubble on a bonfire? That thing flares up. I told one guy one time, I said, pal, if you don't get right with God, you're going to go into the millennium with third-degree burns on your face because you ain't done nothing for God. That's Dave Spurgeon's theological approach. I don't know if it works or not. But I don't want to experience that. Do you? There's a judgment prepared. Amen? There's great things prepared on the other side. I'm talking about heaven. I'm looking forward to it. It helps me put up with whatever we got to put up with down here. Amen? And I'm mindful that my Bible says that, well, God cares about everybody. And Jonah wasn't walking with the Lord. He had a fish. It might not be a fish for you, but what would it be? I know this. When I say, oh, I'm ready to go, trumpet can blow right now, I think sometimes some of us, we get more of our doctrine out of the hymn book than we do out of the Bible. There's a hymn there that says, Christ will gird himself in service. I think sometimes we start longing for the rapture, like we're gonna get taken out of here and come down at the marriage supper. And there's a little parenthesis in there that sometimes we conveniently forget all about. And that's give an account. That's the judgment seat. I hope you're ready for that because it's prepared for you. It says this in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. That's why we have meetings like this. Amen. Give us a chance to take inventory. Give us a chance to clean house, to get a fresh start. Maybe there's some things you would not want to explain to Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. You know what the good news is? You can get that thing right now. You can get that thing right now. If there's something going on, you need to confess that, get forgiveness for that, get up, get back in the fight. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times, but rises up again and gives us opportunity after. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. Our problem is we forget that we're dust. We start thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. We start thinking we're going to be the exception. No, you're going to be the illustration. And as if that's not enough, you're going to give an account of it one day. That'd be a good idea. Tell you what's prepared for you today. That's the question. There's an old-fashioned altar prepared. Amen. There's a place prepared for you to get ready to meet God. And if you've been running like Jonah, put an end to it today. He's giving you another chance. Don't make it take a great fish. Maybe you're in here and you're faithful and you're doing the best you can. And maybe just what God wants you to consider today is that this altar is prepared to give you a place to rededicate your affections in a day and age of major distractions. And the need for committed Christians is greater than ever, not less, not less. What prepared for you? The Bible says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Boy, I'm looking forward to that place. Aren't you? No salt trucks. No wood to cut. Amen. Perfect environment. The Lord Jesus Christ will be there. I'm looking forward to that. That gives me strength down here. But I'm telling you what, God knew that wouldn't be enough. In our finite mind, like Brother Steve prayed, in our finite mind, we have such a hard time focusing that he gives us handfuls of purpose on a regular basis down here. Don't get so blinded and deceived by the god of this world that you don't see God working. God's a God of provision. God's a God of safety. How many things could you say if you thought seriously that maybe close calls in your life in a vast variety of areas where God was real merciful to you. Maybe you didn't even thank him for it. Maybe you thought you were lucky. I'm going to tell you what, how many things are you going to find out about on the other side that God spared you from, you don't even know about. Amen. Amen. How many close calls? I tell you, well, I won't say that. I'll keep going. Maybe it'd be a good time to just thank God for being so good to us. He's real good. I'm going to finish with this right here. I've been talking about what prepared for you, and if you're saved and your sins are gone, heaven's prepared, and I'll tell you what, it's a good life to walk as a child of God, and there's a peace and a joy that comes with it. Yeah, there's hard times, but there's somebody to walk through it with you. I wouldn't trade this life for anything. But I got to say this. There's some things prepared for you if you die not as a Christian, and it's not good. And it brings me no joy to say these things. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We don't all go to a better place. Maybe you read a book on that in college. Maybe you saw a special on that on the Discovery Channel. And maybe you hope with all your heart that's true. But according to the Bible, that's not true. According to the Bible, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire. And truth of the matter is, in all fairness, the lake of fire wasn't prepared for you. The Bible goes on and says, prepared for the devil and his angels. But see, God's got this zero tolerance policy in place. And like we sang, holy, 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 he's a just God, he's a righteous God, and he's going to allow zero sin into heaven. And if you die without having your sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, you will not go to that holy place, and there is only one other option. Yeah, but I was told. Well, you were told wrong. The Bible said the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't let your sins keep you out of heaven. Don't let your sin put you in a lake of fire with forgiveness available. Amen. He said, prepare to meet thy God. And if you're not saved, I guarantee you today, you're not prepared. The choice is simple. Forgiveness or damnation. That's how it works. Hebrews 10:31 said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And I'm sure just as we cannot grasp the splendors of heaven, we cannot grasp the horrors of hell either. I wouldn't risk it if I was you. Our prayer today is that you make a decision to trust Christ, get your sins forgiven according to the Word of God. Listen, we'd be more than willing to help you. There's men and women all over this room that could open a Bible and show you what the Bible says. Nobody's trying to talk you into joining anything. Nobody's asking for your money. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save your soul. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're forgiven by him, according to the Bible, that's what you could find out today. Can you imagine a better thing to leave knowing than that? Amen. Don't risk falling into the hands of the living God as your judge when you can be welcomed into the arms of the living Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Let's stand if you're able. Simple message, what's prepared for you? If you don't get anything else, get this. Dave Spurgeon enjoys being a Christian. I'm glad that God saved more than my soul. I'm glad that he saw fit to save my life and put me in this crowd. But at the end of the day, if none of that would have happened like that, the most important thing is that my sins are gone. They're forgiven. Can you say that today. Are you saved this morning? Pastor's going to come, going to give an invitation. You listen to what he said. If you don't know, on the authority of the Word of God, yeah, on the authority, not the Baptist, not the Protestant, on the authority of the Bible. If you don't know, you can know. Let us open it. Challenge us. We'll show you what it says. Then it's up to you. I hope you make the decision Brother Steve made. I hope you make the decision Brother Louis made. I hope you make the decision Sister Danelle made. I hope you make the decision I made. I decided to follow Jesus. You know why I can do that? Because I gave him my sin. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, you come.